I'm Beck Lewis, and I'm your host for the Shift the Story podcast, where we share ideas and inspiration for living life differently. Richard Jones said yes to ideas and inspiration that completely changed his life. However, he doesn't only just say yes, he proactively asks if he can share. And that's how I met him. I asked a Facebook group of podcasters if anyone had a shift story they would like to share. Richard said, yes, he did, and I agreed. He has a great story to share. How did he get to where he is now, a true crime historian? Listen and find out as we shift the story together. Today, I get to meet a new person. His name's Richard O. Jones, and I met him through a podcasting Facebook group. It's a great way to meet people. And he wrote and said he had a great story, and when I read his story, I went, yes, this is the perfect shift story. So Richard, you said I could call you Richard, or I could call you O. R-O-J. But your story about doing something and then something happened, so I'm not going to say what it is, but something happened and then that led to the other thing. It's such a cool story that that's where we're going. It's like, what were you doing? What happened? And what are you doing now?
Okay. Well, what I was doing is I spent 25 years as a writer for my hometown newspaper. You know, I'm one of those souls that I haven't traveled around a lot, and I don't know whether they won't let me out of my hometown or if I just can't make it out on my own. But I ended up becoming I wanted to be a writer. I always knew that. And I took a degree in creative writing from Miami University. And when I graduated, there wasn't much of a call for poets. So I couldn't find a single opening. So I ended up taking a job with the local newspaper. I took it kind of begrudgingly because I didn't really, that's not really what I had in mind. I thought I'd be, you know, writing mystery novels and things of that sort. But once I got there and kind of started looking around, because I grew up reading this newspaper and I knew all the personalities that were involved. And at the time, you know, newspapers were still a pretty thriving industry. And our local paper had a very specific color and a lot of local columnists who wrote these, you know, chatty stories about the people in the neighborhoods and things of that sort. And I thought, well, you know, that's kind of a good job for me, you know. So I stuck around with the hope of having that job in my later career. But I don't think I need to explain to anybody what happened to the newspaper industry.
No. I
spent most of my career there as an arts and entertainment writer, which I really loved, you know, and I got to cover, we live close to Cincinnati, so I got to cover all the theater there and all that good stuff. Then in 2008, when the economy tanked and newspapers were already kind of struggling, they did a big a buyout of personnel, and they took away my job. They just eliminated the arts position, and then they had me start writing about the school district and city council and those kinds of things, which I just hated doing it, you know. And then 5 years later, they announced in the fall of 2013, the company I worked for announced that they were going to do a major restructuring, and they were going to offer another round of buyouts. Well, as it turned out, I turned 55 years old 2 days before they made that announcement, and the cutoff date was you had to be 55 years old. So I took that as a sign. I really did.
Yes.
And I knew I was going to end up with a job I didn't like, you know, that I was going to be I wasn't going to be doing the storytelling that I thought I was going to be able to do in my late career there. So I took the money and ran. And because it came up so suddenly, I really didn't have a plan B. I didn't know what I was going to do. So I had to kind of take stock of my interests and maybe some of the previous work I had done outside of the newspaper. And what one thing that I had done about 5 years previously is a fella came to me wanted me to do some research for him. He wanted to do a documentary about a murder that happened in my hometown. And it was in 1975 when a fella massacred his entire family on an Easter Sunday. It was a very big case at the time, and he wanted to do a documentary about that. And so he hired me to do the research. So I sat on this, and I did his little treatment, and you know, the documentary never really came about, but it, at least not yet. But I had done all this research, and so I thought, you know, I've got a book in there, you know. So I started sending out proposals for this book, and I started getting some bites on it. So I thought, okay, I'm gonna write this book. And I couldn't find a publisher for that one because I wanted something very specific. But I did come in contact with another publisher, and they ended up buying two other books from me. So my first year, I had a year severance, and I wrote about 350,000 words in that year. I wrote three books, three full-length books, and 10 novella-length true crime stories. Because once I started digging into this stuff, I just kind of became enchanted with the storytelling of the newspapers back in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Just the way that they reported and told their stories, and it was a kind of writing that I was never allowed to do as a newspaper, you know, because we had to be, you know, objective and all that kind of stuff. Whereas these writers in that period of time, that they had attitude. You know, they had a point of view, and there was so much competition between newspapers that they tried to outdo themselves. You know, they tried to really make their own mark. So I wrote a couple short books about some of the stories I stumbled upon. Well, as it turned out, when I got my first royalty check for these two books, I was so disappointed that it wasn't enough to make any money off of. I mean, it wasn't enough to become, you know, an author of true crime books. But what I realized was that I made more money by going out on speaking engagements, right, and getting the honoraria from the libraries or the historical societies, and selling, you know, the books that I could sell at a higher profit, and chapbook editions of my short stories that I offer on my website. I've realized I made more money doing that than I was getting off of royalties. So the next couple times I went out to speak, I recorded my program and posted it on the internet as a podcast, because at the same time, Serial was becoming really big, right? And everybody was talking about true crime and podcasting, and I thought the time is right, you know? So I put up a couple things just as a test, and people started listening. And so at the first of this year, I committed myself to doing two shows a week, and as true crime historian, so I do two stories a week telling stories. You know, basically I read it out of the newspaper. I mean, I do a lot of editing and juggling. I'll follow a case from you know, like usually it's when they find a body, and then follow it through till, you know, whatever the resolution is, or a prison sentence, or sometimes the death penalty back in the day, you know. So I think that shift to me was more about just kind of, you know, following the flow of things and seeing what was right. And even though I didn't have a plan, I think I found kind of a niche for myself. My podcast is growing. I'm getting more and more listeners. I've started getting sponsors. And I've even, I probably shouldn't talk too much about this, but I've gotten a couple emails this week about people who might want to do a television show based on my podcast. So, you know, keep your fingers crossed on that.
Wow. That is really a story. Okay, so I loved it. You went from, I want to be a poet, which all of us would know, like, oh, sure. Yeah, we can be a poet today's day and make a living. And then work for the newspaper, and then not working for the newspaper, and then really coming back to true crime.
Yeah.
And it's like such a circle, because, and I love how the universe works, that it just set you up for that perfect thing. But it really involve you saying, all right, what's here for me to do, and follow that path? You didn't go, oh, no, I can't do that.
Oh, no, not at all. In fact, it's kind of surprising, because You know, like I said, I was an arts reporter for most of my career and a theater critic. I was a member of the American Theater Critics Association, and I won a fellowship from the National Endowment for the Arts for musical theater. So that was kind of my focus all this time. And I really didn't like pursuing the hard news, you know, going after the cop stories and following city council and things of that sort. So there's a little bit of an irony there in that I ended up writing about and unearthing all these stories about these crimes and things, which, you know, it really wasn't an interest of mine. Particularly, although I do think I will say that one of my earliest impulses as a writer was, I loved the Hardy Boys when I was in elementary
yes.
school. So I kind of figured that might be something for me to do, you know, writing mysteries and things of that sort. So I did have an interest in that kind of stuff, but the true crime just kind of came out of the blue, but it fit, you know, it fit.
It seemed perfect.
Yeah, yeah. So I just kind of started following. You know, like you said, the universe nudges you in certain directions, and so I think you have to be open to those kinds of things. Now, the other thing about this though is I'm not very active in a church now, but I used to be, and I always had this thing about, you know, they would talk about God calling you, and I would say, well, you know, you got to make sure that it's not just the committee calling, you know, that it really is God. So I had some other things going on in this meantime. For example, a lot of people came to me because of the way the newspaper world is now. We really don't have a hometown newspaper anymore. The paper I work for has been merged with several other ones that cover the whole county now. And their office isn't even in my town anymore. The offices have moved out to, you know, a more commercial area, more commercial part of the county. So a lot of people in Hamilton were wanting me to do something that was very specific to Hamilton, you know, like a website or, you know, of course they wanted a newspaper, but you're not going to do that. So I spent a lot of time of that first year also developing a community news and information website. And I just kept putting that out there. But it never seemed to take off. You know, I mean, people loved what I was doing, but nobody wanted to pay me to do it, you know? So there's a combination of following the money and, you know, following what the universe is telling you to do.
It's interesting about that money thing, because that's why the newspaper didn't work in the first place, because no one wants to pay for
exactly,
their news.
Exactly.
So then they want another person to do it for free. And also the thing that was just amazing to me when you said you wrote 350,000 words. Oh my God, that is so many words. Well, you know, anybody's doing any kind of writing knows that's a ton of words. So you had a lot to get out.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I just exploded. I mean, I just hunkered down, and you know, like I said, they were paying me for a year, so I thought, let me get as much done as I can in that year. So I just hunkered down and started writing, and I wrote the book. I still haven't published that first book that got me started on this, but I got two other ones and all this other, and probably, you know, another dozen or so short stories that, you know, I did some magazine writing of true crime and things of that sort in the meantime as well.
Wow. Well, after you wrote to me, I went and listened to your podcast, and you're right. You have the perfect voice for that podcast. It's like, people that know me well know that my favorite thing when I was a kid was to go to bed on Sundays around 6 o'clock, listen to the shadow.
Right.
The shadow knows. So listening, I love that podcasts have come back so that you can listen to stories again, because that was the best. That was the best, just being able to listen to stories. And that's what we're living in now, is the age of telling stories again.
Right,
so you're
absolutely.
In the perfect place.
Yeah.
All right. So I love your podcast. I can't wait to read a book or two now that you've told me there's books. And watch the TV show that's going to come out, or the movie.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
But when people want to find you, where are they going to find you?
The best place to get me is, I have a website. It's www.truecrimehistorian.com. Simple enough. So you can find me there, and I post links to all my books and all my podcasts and everything there. I also have a Facebook page, which is facebook.com/truecrimehistorian. And so you can find me there. And I also do Twitter and all that other stuff. I'm not a real big fan of Twitter, but, you know, you kind of have to be there.
Oh, we have to do it. Yeah, I know. We do all this stuff. Like, I don't really like that one, but I got to do it. Yeah. But I will put all your information on your personal page on the ship so that people can find everything. But there's one last question that I ask everybody. So,
okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. So what is the one piece of advice that you would give anyone else in the midst of changing a life story?
You know, I think I kind of have to go back to follow your bliss. I mean, to find the things that make you happy. In a lot of ways, I set myself up for this big change, but it kind of took me by surprise. And I think I only found it because, you know, I found those things that make me happy. You know, late in my career, I did start developing an interest in local history. And we have a lot of good crimes here in Hamilton, a lot of Prohibition era stories that are just, you know, amazing. But for the podcast, I started reaching out and reading these newspaper accounts. I just became enchanted with the kind of language that they use. And so, you know, I was following those things that it made me happy to read those. You know, I just would get excited reading these accounts. And so it became a great pleasure for me to then start just reading them to people and seeing the response that they get. So I think that's what it comes down to, is just follow your bliss.
Follow what makes you happy. You know, one of the things I love about that is that you did what made you happy all along. You found a way to make yourself happy all along. So I think, again, that the universe sets us up to say, if you'll do this, you're in training.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you'll get to do this, and then you get to do this. It's like being stewards of things, the stewards of our gifts, and then you get more. But when you try to walk away from it, you don't, or go the opposite direction. And I love your statement, make sure it's not the committee, because the committee does not know.
No, they don't know. They don't know.
It's perfect. Yeah. Well, I am so delighted that you actually said, when I said, does anybody have a good story to share, that you answered me, because this is a great story, and I know it's going to inspire tons of people.
Well, I hope so. And if anybody wants to, you know, get in contact with me and find out more, you know, they can feel free to email me through my Facebook page or hit me up on Facebook. I'm always looking for new friends and new fans. So.
Oh, friends and fans. We love friends and fans. So we hope everybody will listen to both all your podcasts and all my podcasts. It'll be great.
Yeah,
so,
very good.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Beck.
Make sure it's God talking and not the committee. Isn't that great advice? Richard follows the flow and does the work happily. Simple, easy, something we all can learn to do better. As always, you can find this podcast at theshift.com/podcast or theshift.com/Richard O. Jones. If you haven't yet, could you take a minute to rate and review this podcast on iTunes? It's one of the biggest ways that people find the podcast. I also love, love, love your comments on how these podcasts inspire you. So please take time to let me know. Did you know that you could shift your story with me through either classes or coaching? Contact me at shift@theshiftcenter.com and we'll talk. Or find more info at theshift.com. Thank you for listening. Now let's go out and flow with the universe as we shift the story together.